Okay, guys, we don't have a super huge back-end room so we can talk without microphone. So, my name is Sunan, and I'm the founder and CEO for a company called Terra. So, nowadays it's the largest internet company in Latin America. So, in the next 30 minutes, I'm going to tell you what's going on out there in America and also why it's reshaping the media. And please interrupt at any time when you want to make a question. Have 10 guys inside, so it's easy to do this, right? Also, you can last like an hour, 2 hours, or 30 minutes is okay also. Okay. So, what's going on right now? In Latin America, and probably most of you know that the economic is completely reshaped in Latin America in the last 10 years, right? So, if you look at most of the countries in Latin America right now, we have a very stable, steadily growing economy. If you look at the epicenter of this, it's Brazil. And if you look at all the numbers, are amazing. I mean, we, in all the countries in Latin America, we've been able to create a huge medium class in the last couple of years. So if you take a look at Brazil again, you see that 30 million people escaped from the poverty in the last 15 years. And probably 15 more are going to escape from in the next 2 years, right? So if you look at this, we can create a massive middle class that can start to consume things that 20 years ago was almost impossible. And they start to consume from cars to dishwashers, but especially digital goods, devices, so digital devices, computers, mobile phones, etc. If you take a look in the last 5 years, Brazil has been going up the rank of computers sold globally. So now Brazil is for the second year in a row the third largest market in the world in terms of computers. So if you look at tablets, obviously it's a very hot market. If you look at that, 500,000 tablets were sold last year in Brazil. The forecast for this year is that it's 1 million, right? But even despite it, the cost, if you compare the costs here in Brazil to create, I would say, the digital home, people normally spend like $25,000 in Brazil or Latin America. Normally costs an average of double, it's $5,000. But again, even despite that, people can consume and they love to consume. They're really pursuing to have this kind of digital device in their home. If you take a look at the huge presence of digital devices in the middle class in Latin America, you're going to see at least two interesting numbers, right? First is mobile phones. It's a pretty new number. A couple weeks ago, all the operators, top operators, have published their numbers. And you see that now we have more mobile phones than people in Latin America. So, approximately 600 million people live in Latin America nowadays. And you have 630 million mobile phones in whole Latin America. Broadband is another thing that's growing a lot. Every 2 seconds, 1 new broadband access is installed. Most of them, 6% already, are broadband, mobile broadband. So what happening is, we have more than 100 million people and 65 million people using broadband and mobile. It drives us to the internet users. So what you have right now is 120 million internet users in Latin America in total. And the difference is, they are super heavy users. They are addicted to the internet. They are savvy. So the way that they use internet, it is, I would say, sometimes higher than average of worldwide metrics that we have. So according to ComScore or NAB ratings, we're going to see all the metrics in Latin America, especially in Brazil, higher than average. So, 10 years ago, we started to research those guys and create a concept that we call the digital Latino. Trying to understand why those numbers are so high. And it comes from the behavior of the person. It comes from the behavior of Latin American people. The way that we like to interact with each other, the way that we want to communicate. And this is super important to the internet. Or internet as a tool. If you look at 98% of the people that are using the internet right now, they really access data, right? 86% more than twice a day. So people are addicted and getting information. So if you look at the trends and the online activity, you're going to see that in an average of 41 hours monthly, people on the internet are surfing on Latin America. And you look at the activity, 86% of the 220 million people is listening, is accessing news, sports, 82% watching videos online, 89% are active users on Facebook or Twitter. So it's a massive adoption of internet in whole countries of Latin America. The most important trends are social. Again, we as Latin American people, we love to talk, love to communicate, to be, to hang each other. So when you have a tool, a digital tool that can really help us to, you know, to communicate, we really use it, we really adopt it. The second trend that is super important is life. The use of internet in Latin America has been broadly used to follow news or to follow what's going on right now live. It can be a very important breaking news, hard news. It can be, you know, a celebrity stuff. It could be something that my friends are doing. So everything that is live is pretty hot in Latin America right now. And finally, video and music. Video and music are the killer applications, not only here in the US or in Europe, but also in Latin America. I'm going to show you some stats about videos to understand why media is completely changing in Latin America right now, and how it's affecting the whole media landscape, not only in Latin America, but also starting here in the US and Europe. If you take a look in television in Latin America, television is a very powerful tool. In Latin America, televisions can really elect president, impeach president, and really shape society. Soap operas, probably most of you have heard about it. Soap operas can really define the society, the way that people, or, you know, teenagers dress, what kind of new brands people are going to use. So television is super powerful in Latin America. What is happening is the consumption of Latin America, television in Latin America, has been decreasing a lot. If you look at this, it's still a very interesting number, 70 hours per month. Last year, we don't have yet the numbers, but it indicates that it's going to be like 60 hours. So it's decreasing, and it is important. At the same time, what's happening is simultaneously, as traditional television is decreasing, the online television is growing a lot. Thanks again to the digital revolution, people using the internet a lot, and broadband and new devices. So if you take the upper classes, the upper middle class, the upper classes in whole Latin America, you're going to see that the average, 96% really watch videos online. Videos, I mean, videos that is not YouTube only. It's something that was produced to television or to theaters, right? And 87% watch now. So it's a 10 points percentage gap. If you look at this demographics, 15 to 30 years, you're going to see that, you know, there are more people watching TV series produced for TV online than offline, right? Obviously, most of those, you know, two-thirds of those people are not watching anything. But anyway, if you look at the behavior, it's completely changed. Again, if you take a look at the another, you know, buzz that people on traditional media and television is talking a lot, it is about, okay, we recognize that there's a lot of people online in live and watching television, right? Because I have my mobile phone and I do a lot of things together in live while I'm watching television. And actually, it happens in Latin America. On average, half of the people that are internet users are watching television, traditional television, with some mobile devices, or computers, or tablets, or mobile, smartphones, whatever, in their lap, in their pocket. But when you ask them, and you do the research, and try to understand the behavior, you're going to see that only 2% of those that do this kind of thing really pay attention to television. Right? Half pay more attention on their mobile phones, and their digital devices, than television. So, it is, if you look at this behavior, and I think that's something important, and normally with me when you're talking about technology, it is the behavior of the users. Not really talk about devices and how they are, you know, reshaping everything, but in the end of the day, what is the most important thing? It is the behavior of the user. When you understand this, we're going to see that there is a fundamental change in the way that people is related to the media nowadays. So how is it impacting? So let me give you some numbers and try to close this first part of the landscape in Latin America. If you take a look at traditional media here in the U.S. and most of the European countries, we talk a lot about the impact of digital revolution decreasing, you know, not only hours watched, but also subscriptions or subscribers based newspapers, circulation, etc. When you take a look at Latin America and then use Brazil as a proxy, we're going to see that we are Latin American people. We are leapfrogging this stuff. What's going on right now? If you remember the first numbers, in the last 20 years, most of the people could not afford to have, you know, most of the things that people in the U.S. have. So they could not afford to have pay television or subscribe to a newspaper or other things, right? So here in the U.S., as we know, it is people are churning. So they are cutting, for example, cables, or they are churning on subscription in newspapers. But if you look at the numbers in Brazil, as example, you're going to see that we didn't reach that capacity that the U.S. has in terms of installed base, the users installed base in their in pay television and newspapers and magazine subscription. So nowadays what we have is Brazil has approximately 200 million people living in Brazil, right? 40 million people has pay television. So it's just 20% of penetration. The total newspaper circulation numbers daily is 8.6 million in Brazil. So 200 million people, 8.6 million newspapers, right? It means that they are increasing, not actually not. They are increasing a little bit. I would say that here's stable, here's growing. But what happened is people in America, they are not getting used to this. So now what's going on is the behavior is completely digital. So I'm not used to have, for example, 100 channels in my cable television. I have zillions on the internet. I don't know what it is on the television because I haven't had one. So what's going on right now is a completely different scenario. So if you look at in the U.S., for example, probably here is massive in most of the parts, but here in Brazil or in Latin America, it's completely different. So we have more people using digital media as a source of news, a source of entertainment, than in traditional media. For example, in Brazil, again, 200 million population, we have 145 million mobile phones. So it's more than 20% of penetration. Forecasting for this year is almost 300 million. So it's 150%. Almost two mobile phones for each person. 50 million of those mobile phones are smartphones. Forecast for this end of this year, 80 million, right? And again, internet users, 82 million internet users in Brazil. So it gives you a glimpse of what's going on right now. So we have a massive audience in the digital, a massive different behavior in terms of how we face the internet. Where you are? Well, here is today a present phone score, one of the third most visited sites in the world. So we are present in 18 countries, but we do work portal. Right? Here in West, people don't like the word portal because, you know, it's cool or something like that. We love portal. I mean, 100 million people love portal, right? So because they are going monthly in our site. But there are only 30 properties in the world, digital properties in the world, that have more than 100 million people going there. And we are one of those. What's going on is you have identify the trends first and others and create a different products for those kind of people. So what you do is obviously we produce and aggregate tons of daily, hourly, minute by minute. But what you do is you put in the consumer behavior in the middle of this, right? And we create something that it's pretty valuable for them. So they share, they we haven't had a traditional media in our DNA. We're a digital media, we're born digital. So the way that we produce content is not device-oriented, it's people-oriented. So live is another thing that's very important. I'm going to show you how different is the media right now because of this. And also the screen. I mean, obviously, you have to understand that people have more devices than ever. In their pocket, in their lap, in their houses, in their work. But in the end of the day, this is a just a way to communicate with the users. It's not a way to format the content, but it's a way that you want to deliver. So let me give you an example. If you are covering live in sports, for example, a soccer game, minute by minute, I can have a very nice interface in my web, right, accessing computers. But for example, if I have a screen connected on IP in an elevator, or in a public space, I have to change a little bit. It's not because of the device, because I can use most of the user interface on that screen. Actually, it's bigger now sometimes than a computer, but it's the way that people are consuming. What they want, to know the minute-by-minute information, no, probably on this war. They want to know about the soccer at that moment, or they prefer to know what's going on in the traffic on the LC, right? So we adapt the content not because of the screens, but because of the behavior of the users. And I can give you two examples of how everything is connected and changing the media landscape nowadays in Latin America and now here in the US because we have a presence with 10 million people here in the US. First example is music. I mean, we are in South by Southwest. Today is starting the music sessions, and music is something pretty important for Latin America. We love music, we love to sing and dance, and you love to be connected with music. But what's going on right now in the industry is we talk a lot about platform, we talk a lot about product, right? So it's iTunes, Deezer, Radio, Pandora, Rapsod, Spotify, it's a streaming or download. Even us, we talk a lot about platform because we have our own platform, Sonora, streaming music, free, 6 million listeners, 10 million subscribers, whatever. But since 2006, when we launched Sonora, a long time ago, it was only a piece of the puzzle for the music industry. So I love to talk about platforms and services, but at the end of the day, it is how we deliver the music that people want to consume. So Sonora is a part of this. It's a very important part, but it's just one part of this. What people want is share and discover new music. Again, the platform is important, but the way that we aggregate the content is even more important. So what you do is, nowadays we have more than 25 million people, one-fourth of our total audience that goes to our site to listen to music, but also to understand what's going on. Celebrities, shows, concerts, and especially watch live concerts. Again, remember that in Latin America, few people have paid television. So watch live concerts is not anything. You don't have HBO, for example, it's massive deployed in all the houses. So how can, as a fan of whatever, Paul McCartney, Madonna, I can watch a show or concert? But it's only on the internet. So we produce these shows. We normally broadcast live more than 100 concerts yearly for free from very huge gigs like Mandy Chu, Madonna, Paul McCartney, very small gigs. We give Terra as a platform for very independent companies, independent labels, independent bands that are starting. So we produce pocket shows also for those guys. And it's completely connected on social and Facebook. So let me show you how it's working right now. The first live music concert we did in 99, November 17th. It was the first live video concert broadcast live. It was Stanley Jordan, the jazz video player. And it was like this one, 200 people, right? So, okay, 200 people is a little bit for this one, but anyway, it was 200 people. 200 people in 99, I mean, it's almost the tutorial, right? Wrote the connections in Latin America. But what happened is we're, since 99, evaluating and testing the behavior of the users, how they want to watch those kind of things. So, as I told you, you broadcast 100, but if you can take one example last year, this Paul McCartney show that we produce, we put the cameras, we put the link, we make everything happen. We got like 1.5 million people watching live films, right? So again, and that's why I feel that something different is happening right now in America. Is YouTube is doing a lot of things in terms of broadcasting live, but the way that you can put massive audience in this way and broadcasting high definition, you know, throughout different cameras and all those things makes a difference, because that is the one in one. The user one. They obviously want to watch Paul McCartney, but they want to have a very good quality. The other example is about festival, right? So popular music. We broadcast Via Del Mar, actually. We broadcast Lollapalooza here in the US, well, some European festivals. But if you look at the Carnival, we broadcast the first Carnival in 2000. Let's talk about the people, right?
Sure. Can I just ask, this is in Spanish or Portuguese?
In three languages, Portuguese, Spanish, and English. So, and obviously, for example, for Carnival, we broadcast live for the entire world, right? So, just a couple weeks ago, we had Carnival in Brazil. And the difference is, again, the understanding of the behavior of the user. So, we broadcast first Rio de Janeiro, that probably most of the people outside of Brazil know Carnival because of Rio de Janeiro, right? But Rio de Janeiro, I mean, it is super boring for the people to watch live, because it is like, you know. So people started to ask us through the years, why cannot you guys broadcast live the bigger, the largest festival in Brazil, there's Carnival in Salvador de Bahia? So we broadcasted, we started that 4 or 5 years ago, and this year we got 11.6 million people watching the 6 days. Yes, Carnival Brazil. Last 6 months, it's awesome. You know? So, but again, you look at the number. I mean, even in broadband, it's growing in Latin America, but almost a thousandfold growing. It's a lot. So the way that you produce, again, it's through Facebook to Twitter, 20 different cameras, high definition, and all those things. And again, for free, right? Let's move forward to the second big example, is the content itself. So again, if you look at this kind of coverage, 6 days, 7 hours a day, there is no television that can do this, right? You're going to explode and screw the grid that they have. So now what you're doing, you're producing and putting on the app. So again, the content is the same stuff. So there's a lot of things going live right now in the world. And the television or other media cannot adapt itself to deliver what the behavior of the user wants. So what you do is massively deploy as much as you can live events. It can be, again, a very live concert, could be a very small thing, traffic, but we do it. So one example is sports. Sports is it's amazing because people love it. Almost half of our total, you know, audience, 50 million people, goes to our site to check the news about sports, to follow the games live, or minute by minute coverage, everything. And what we did is, in the last 10 years, we understood that coverage is important, but we must deliver more. So we were the first company in the world to acquire World Cup soccer rights to broadcast live on the internet. It was 2006 in Germany, right? So what happened is, with that first really, you know, amazing, huge acquisition of rights, super costly for us, we started to produce more and more rights, right? So what happened is, we started to buy more rights, like Summer Olympic Games and Winter Olympic Games and all those things. When you look at it, and everybody knows that soccer is very important in Brazil, in whole anyway. Except by two countries, that is Cuba and Venezuela. So it's strange, but it is. We're gonna look at, with 2 years of difference, World Cup drove 2 million people, and 5 million people and 2 million viewers watching live, and Beijing drove 23 million. One out of five people on the internet in 2008 was following us live in Beijing. And why it happened? It is because something different happens when we can really push different events to the users. So for example, in the last 50 years, several Olympic Games have been broadcast live on by televisions on internet, right? But again, because of the grid that they have, they only allow 2 hours live, maybe sometimes. And only the most important sports, at least by their definition, soccer or basketball, right? So what we did is, in Summer Olympic Games, we broadcast live every single event that is happening at that moment. So 13 live channels, we broadcast basketball, soccer, fencing. I mean, people haven't watched fencing live in most countries anywhere. And I think that here is also the same. But actually, what happens is sometimes you can pay, I don't know if you're going to pay for fencing, but anyway, it's starting to watch. So the difference is, again, how we package and how we deliver this. Something I'd like to show you also is how it works. So it is, for example, last year, in October last year, we had the Pan American Games, right? Pan American Games is for US is like a tier 4 in terms of importance, not only as a sport, but also in terms of audience, right? I would say it's a tier 5. I mean, for television, it's a bad, really bad sports event to broadcast. But we did it on the internet last year, and what happened is we got 51 million people during 2 weeks and a half watching live our broadcast of Pan American Games. So it is a little bit strange, this resolution, but anyway, you can get a sense. Obviously, it's not live because Pan American Games happened in October, but anyway, just to give you a sense of that, it is how it works. If you had, at the moment, 3 events simultaneously, we show to the user and offer to the user so they can select and watch. I mean, it is high definition again. It's a pretty good quality. Even if I like another, I don't know, for example, here is soccer, I can use it. I can have 2 simultaneously broadcast and video broadcast, so I can watch my volleyball game and my soccer if it's gonna work. I don't know. Yep. So if I had any sound, you can see that the narration here is one. When you mouse over, the narration is other. So this is just to give a sense of that, right? So you cannot do this on television normally. Also, if you take a look in our coverage of minute by minute, you're going to see that it's a little bit different. So there's a lot of gamification. There is another behavior of the users right now. Just in case if you have some user interface guys, you know, honest, it's how it works. I mean, there is a lot of information minute by minute. Again, you have some streams of pictures going on in the minute by minute. We have a lot of stats also, so people can really look at what's going on in terms of stats. You can select users, you can select the team. So huge information for the 7,000 sports events that you cover monthly. So every single month in Latin America, we cover 7,000 different events. And now also we have another interface that based in Beijing and based in Pan American Games that we are delivering the next couple weeks. It is, again, you can see all the live broadcasting that we have and the video. So now when you have the video, just like we have in Pan American Games, people can start to watch and also, you know, follow some stats. Have the picture in picture. You can select players, you can select, you know, everything about the stats. So this is, again, something related to behavior. I mean, people want to get through in depth in terms of stats, in terms of this gamification concept that people love on the internet. As a traditional media, you cannot achieve something like that, right? Actually, again, back to the device-oriented versus behavior-oriented, when you have the tablet, we have a different kind of interface. Because you know that most of the people is watching sometimes on television, if it's available on the television, and what you deliver is a different kind of interface. More stats and more minute by minute. But again, if you have the video
with us, and you can broadcast, we do the same. So this is the iPad, so you can see, you know, the minute by minute here. It's, you know, it's a kind of ticker. So if you select it, you can have a, you know, the full radar of what's going on right now. Actually, it is during the Pan American Games. It was a Sunday, a lot of soccer games and even, you know, the Pan American Games. And you can select and go. So it depends of if you're going minute by minute, more stats information in the video, less. So what's going on right now is we are preparing the Olympics for London, as I told you guys. So what you do it is we're going to broadcast live the London 2012. It's a different concept again. It's bringing more information, more stats. For example, for soccer, basketball, this kind of match, we do a lot of have a lot of information in the good user interface. But if you try to follow athletes more or teams, pretty complicated. You know, the scoreboard changes a lot. The way that people try to understand what's going on is pretty complicated. So only with video, with some stats, you cannot do this. So what you're going to do is, during the London, if you're lucky to be in an American watch for free on Terra, you can see that you can see who is jumping right now, the current athlete, the next one, if he missed or not the jump, who is the leader, how the current stand is changing. And again, for the whole athlete, because during an athlete's event, normally you have four or five different events happening. Right? So, as I promised, 30 minutes. Right? One important message is, normally what happens is, the industry is looking a lot through US or European market, right? And we have seen this way that different parts of the globe, like China or India or Latin America, can really drive us. Can really drive the future of the media landscape. We have 100 million people watching our site, and 50 million on sports, and 5 million in different parts of our sites, but what's happening is the way that you're producing the news and the way that we're dealing with the rights is really changing the media globally. So a good example is again the Summer Olympic Games. It took us 6 years convincing the International Olympic Committee to sell rights to us. And when they finally got convinced, it was a month before the opening ceremony of Beijing in 2008. And then we made the deal with us that, okay, how many feeds of video can you give us? Come on, we're just thinking deal, but normally we offer like 2 for the TVs, but we need everything in 1 that we have. Sorry, we got the 13. For London, we're going to have 44. For 44 simultaneous live video event. Here in the US in 2008, I don't know if you remember, NBC delayed, postponed the Michael Phelps swimming because of time schedule is not that good. Wasn't that good for them? And they told the people that were live, right? Wasn't live. And in 2008, Twitter is not that, but you know, in the Twitter, rumors start swirling that competition has opened. So people are like, come on, it's not live anymore. So that's what's happening right now. So we are dealing with all the major studios, Fox, so we're dealing with all the sports rights. We're dealing with all the major the music labels to change the windows, to change the rights, to put them in. Right? And finally, I think that the next Facebook, Twitter, Google company will come from Latin America. Probably already born, we never know. We are part of the revolution, right? Probably more companies will join this army. And I think that if you are here in America, if you are in the US or in Europe, it may be worth paying attention to America. Or rather, in South, India, or Asia. Right? Questions?
Can be in Portuguese? Or?
Yeah, say Portuguese and it's like, yeah.
Poder trabalhar na Netflix, na agência de publicidade no Brasil, em São Paulo. A gente tem focado muito isso que você mostrou. Essa apresentação, parte dela, a gente já tinha visto no Brasil, tentando com os colegas antes aqui. Esse primeiro ano no Brasil, onde a Olimpíada não vai ser transmitida pela Globo, né? Que é o nosso grande canal, o nosso grande canhão de audiência. começando pela Record, uma emissora que não tem tanta expertise em esportes. É, falando em comportamento, na segunda corrente que você tem, você demonstrou, como é que você vê isso para o consumo de mídia, para essa disseminação de audiência na internet, ou mais internet no caso, como é que você vê isso depois da Olimpíada, na verdade, né? E agora, qual é o seu impacto?
The question is, actually the good one, it is, normally big sports events are broadcast in Brazil by far the largest free-to-air television. So they have massive audience, like 6% of the total key free-to-air television audience goes to this player that's called Globo, right? But what happened is this year they don't have the rights. They lost the rights for, I would say, the number four in terms of audience in Brazil, sometimes the third. But anyway, the difference is huge. They have 60% and this new broadcaster has like sometimes 15%. You know? So the question is, what's going on after this event being broadcast massively on the internet versus this small broadcast? I think that's two things going to happen. First, definitely this small broadcast we raise a little bit the tolerance and brand awareness, and it's huge, so, you know. But what's happening is, obviously, we are competing as internet, as a media company, against, I don't like the word, but a not so strong competitor as number one, right? And probably the audience on the free-to-air television on the internet will be the same, or probably the internet will be a little bigger. So what's going on, and I think that after this event, the two will be stronger than it was before. So this third TV company will be stronger than ever, that was before, and others are going to be stronger than ever, right? A good example was Pan American Games. Pan American Games happened the same situation. This third or fourth free-to-air television channel had the rights, and they got, I would say only the big 8.08% of the total audience, and it got 51 million people. So pretty much compared. More questions? Guys,
Sorry, you didn't talk very much about news.
Yeah.
And can you just sort of give me just a few minutes to
explain
about what the news?
Sure, a couple minutes. I love this one. News is, I didn't talk about news because if I was in another hotel, it is the content, the journalist, probably the other
change
of
the
Okay, so what's going on right now is the news changed a lot, the way that people and media companies are covering, right? But what happened is most of the traditional media is still treating the coverage of news as they are in the traditional media. So, for example, newspapers, they have a lot of good things online, but they're missing a very important part. They saw it on video, and users want video, right? They don't know how to produce it. Even New York Times, we've seen Jill a couple of days ago, she's awesome, but, you know, if you look at the videos, sorry about it, it doesn't work, right? If you go to video, so look at the TV or the news channels, when they go online, normally they are late. It is strange because they have huge, massive journalists and cameras outside, but they are late because they are not embracing digital. So what we do? First, in our professional content coverage, we have backpack shoes. We don't need trucks, right? So we put a guy in a motorcycle or a bike or whatever, skateboarding, we go to the site and start broadcast live to 3G or more. Secondly, we embrace the consumers. So if someone is looking at and tweeting something, we not only put on online the tweet and start to call and see if everything is okay with that guy and tweeting with them, for example, put in the news and start to gather the pictures or even the video that guy produced, right? It's a product they call U-Report, right? So we have more than 150,000 different contributors here. So it's huge, right? So what's going on right now is the news is really losing a lot of good things coming from the traditional media, the new digital media. I'm not talking only by us, but also if you look at Huffington Post, is a good example here in the US, or Politico, right, or even TMZ, you can select any subject, celebrities, politics, hard news, breaking news, you see that the traditional media are not ready to embrace the digital. Two things, I think. First, they have a lot to lose in terms of revenues, right? They cannot monetize in the way that we monetize the digital. Secondly, is the DNA. It's hard to change the DNA of these traditional media companies. So again, Joe, a couple days ago, if you look at, they are sticking to the concept that the most important news or the most written news on New York Times is the long format, the story, right? If you look at the audience, at the numbers of New York Times, she's pretty right. But if you compare with the other sides and what people is really reading and following, it's not the full stories. And you compare the full audience outside, you're going to see that it's New York Times like this and the others like this. Right? But again, I think that news is super, super exciting scenario to be, environment to be right now. We love it. We are fighting against any traditional media right now. We have more audience. Any news vertical that we have in every single county that we're present right now, then more questions? Guys, thank you very much. I do appreciate it. So far to be here. I would say a couple miles away from the party. I do really appreciate it. It's very easy to be in touch with me. It's fernando@terra.com. It's easy. Thank you. Thank you very much for being here today. Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.